The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is, by my count, our 10th show of the week. No, I'm just kidding. It's like our 9th show of the week, and it's our DFS show as we preview the main slate coming up the rest of the week. We will have a Thursday preview, a Thursday recap, and of course, our best bets picks against the spread show for Friday. So make sure and check those out in your feed. And you know, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to assume you like to gamble in some form or fashion. And if that's the case, buddy, you are in luck because we have a brand new podcast as part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network launching today. It's the Early Edge. You want to leg up on that bookie? Have you heard about these bookies? Sometimes they look at things, they say, oh, there's a 97% chance of something winning. Those bookies are all over the numbers. And if you want to leg up on your bookie, the Early Edge has got you covered. It's powered by Sportsline. And every single day of the week, you can join Jonathan Coachman and an expert crew of Sportsline handicappers to break down the biggest games of the day, no matter what sport it is. Every episode is 10 minutes or shorter. It's like the opposite of this podcast and is in your feed by 11 a.m. Eastern. It's literally the opposite of this podcast. If there's a sharp side of the action, you'll be armed with it. Go check out the Early Edge podcast anywhere podcasts are found. Joining me now to break down the DFS slate for week 14. The one, the only, Frank Stanfill at Roto underscore Frank on Twitter. True or false, Frank? Heath Cummings is so annoyed by me failing to set my lineups in multiple fantasy season-long fantasy leagues that he is refusing to come on this podcast.
Oh, true. 100%. I wouldn't put that past Heath.
Although I will say, I mean, Heath is the commissioner in a dynasty league that I'm in. And, I was playing Nick Costas, our old colleague, with the winner goes to the playoffs, loser doesn't. And I'll be honest, like I've just been bad this season at setting my lineups and I forgot to change out Ryan Fitzpatrick for either Baker Mayfield or Philip Rivers, and I still beat him.
Ooh, I was about to say, all right. Well, you know, it's a good time to be Will Brinson because your boy Philip Rivers is balling out right now. So
yes, he's playing really well. I'm excited for the Colts. I hope they do. I hope they take it to the house, so to speak. All right. So week 13. Any recap thoughts? I don't think you did any, I don't think you made any money unless you had Derek Carr and Darren Waller stacked, right?
Yeah, that's probably where the big money was at. And we were off by 1 week, man. Off by 1 week. And last week I said, you know, look, I'm going back to the well. I might be crazy. I really didn't have that much Derek Carr and Darren Waller either. But man, like, just start everyone against the Jets. They are dreadful.
I had one lineup that did pretty well, ended up with 170 points. I mean, that's not like mind blowing, but it was enough to cash. Sean Watson and Brandon Cook stack, but I made my hay by rolling with Jonathan Taylor, who was 12% owned, in this particular contest and was one of my favorite plays of the week. He had a big game, ended up having a receiving touchdown at 91 rushing yards. And Corey Davis, who I sort of filled out lineups with, accidentally had a monster game, 182 receiving yards, 11 catches, and a touchdown in that shootout. Baker Mayfield was the other if you play Baker Mayfield, good for you. Cause I don't think anybody was playing Baker Mayfield in that spot. So, you know, kudos to you if you played him. And then if you brought him back, if you played Baker and I don't even know who the
Landry was the guy.
Baker and Landry and brought him back with Corey Davis. Then A, you're a wizard, and B, you probably are rich as all get out. The Millie Maker lineup, which I happen to have it in front of me. I cashed one lineup in the Millie Maker. It's so disappointing when you cash a like, you know, I mean, like you can have a decent lineup. Like I finished, I mean, I was like top 30,000. It's $30 back. The winning lineup had 258 points. Derek Carr, Derek Carr, Darren Waller, Corey Davis, Justin Jefferson, and the Patriots defense were the flame emojis for them. Also had Chris Carson, James Robinson, Robert Woods, Big Bob, and Big Bob Tanyan.
So
I don't mind when I don't mind when I see the Millie Maker and like I wasn't anywhere near it. Like I'm at least like, all right, you know, like that wasn't on my radar, so I don't mind.
Yeah, there are weeks where you look at the Millie Maker and you're just like, man, I could have thought about that. I looked at all these players, I just didn't have them all together in one lineup. That lineup is kind of out there compared to most Millie Maker lineups that we see. So really faded all the chalk. There was no chalk involved there, no David Montgomery, no Kiki QT in that lineup that you read. But Patriots defense, wow.
Yeah.
Just the Chargers and Justin Herbert in general, man, grow the hair back out because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. If you rolled with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, that didn't go well. We'll talk about the Chargers. Interesting bounce back spot for them. And, Patriots aren't on the slate because they're on Thursday night, but their defense is at least starting to be interesting again. Let's dive into the slate though, Frank. And we start as we always do with the highest point total on the board for the main slate. And it's Packers at Lions. Aaron Rodgers, 7,500 is actually kind of reasonable. Devontae Adams is maybe also reasonable at 9,300. I would assume that these guys are going to be chalk. I don't know how you can, I mean, I guess you can fade Devontae Adams because, you know, you need to fit some other guys in, but man, he is just catching a touchdown every week. I'm betting him every week. First touchdown scored 5-1. It just keeps cashing over and over again.
Yeah, especially when he's getting as many red zone targets that he is. I believe he leads the NFL in red zone targets as of now. And yes, he does with 22 red zone targets. So that is just a lock right now. And I would say among the 9K plus players, he is probably the one I'm most likely to just set it and forget it. Put him in every single week. He has 18 plus DraftKings points in 7 straight, including 30 plus in 4 of those games. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is the game to stack. It's indoors. It's a huge total in the dome. And you're getting Rodgers at 7,500. He has multiple touchdown passes in 11 of 12 games. So I assume both of these guys will be very chalky. But, you know, for cash lineups, you're looking for players that you could just set in and not worry about it. I think two of those guys, and even Aaron Jones, like this is the best matchup that you can have for a running back, and he's 7,600. You look at the top end of running backs this week, there are a lot of very high priced guys, and you're getting Aaron Jones for 1,500, 2,000 less than guys like Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry. So, definitely interested in Aaron Jones in the spot.
Would you be opposed to stacking, like having all three of those guys? Is that even viable? And just going all in on the Packers?
You can. It's just like the roster rate for all three of these players are going to be very high. So, okay. I mean, it's not something you want to do in tournaments or, you know, leverage situations to try and get a leg up. But in cash games, I could certainly see it being something that you could look into. And even on the other side, like, I don't mind Stafford at 5,700, especially if Kenny Golladay, if he can return. I don't know if we're ever going to see Kenny Golladay play again because his hip injury has been hampering him for so long and killed me in so many season-long leagues, but
I don't think he's coming back.
He's probably not going to.
If I'm Kenny Golladay, I believe he's eligible for free agency because he wasn't a first-round pick, so he's...
Yep, he's a free agent.
He's a free agent. Look, the Lions aren't going anywhere. They just fired their coach. You know, you don't know that Darrell Bevell's going to be there next year. If I'm Kenny Golladay, I'm not coming back until I'm 100% healthy. Cause he's going to get really paid in free agency or franchise tagged either way. And if you come back now in the final 4 weeks of the season to chase like the 10% chance that they could get maybe 5% chance to get the 7 seed and you hurt yourself, it could cost you millions of dollars. So, I mean, that's my only hold up on, Matthew Stafford is that no Galladay is there. But, you know, you could stack Stafford and Hockenson with Adams coming back.
Yeah, Hockenson has been just super consistent at the tight end position, and the price is up there now at 5K.
Tight end two on season long leagues this year?
What's up?
He tight end two this year behind Kelce?
He's tight end four in fantasy points per game.
Okay, that's really good.
He's been great. But the price is getting up there. The stat I wanted to bring up for Stafford is first game with Daryl Bevel as the head coach. They said that they were going to open things up a little bit. He had 551 intended air yards. I heard this from Chris Towers as well on Fantasy Football Today. That is by far the most of any game this season. So they just threw the ball down the field. And I do think the Packers are somewhat susceptible. Yes, they have Jaire Alexander, but, I like Stafford too. And this is the game that you want to stack.
Okay. I'm looking at Rodgers. I mean, this is a really early ownership projection. I don't want to even like it's, but I mean, sub 10%. Is that possible?
Maybe just because we have so many good quarterbacks.
This is a really good, this is like a fun fantasy slate, fun DFS slate. No, like it's not, I mean, it's all of them are challenging because you're always trying to piece a puzzle together. But I mean, I think when you start to look around, I mean, you know, you can, I mean, like, we'll get to the other games, but like Justin Herbert and Ryan Tannehill, you're saving 700 or 800 off of Aaron Rodgers. You know, Matt Ryan, you're saving to 1800 off of Aaron Rodgers. And if you want to play Devontae Adams and you want to play guys like Derrick Henry and you want to play, you know, the expensive tight ends like the Waller and Kelce, you know, you maybe you're willing to spin down at quarterback. So it's possible that Aaron Rodgers is not as rostered as we thought he might be.
Yeah, and we still have guys like Patrick Mahomes, which we're not used to having Mahomes and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers all on the same slate because right. Usually one of those guys plays on Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, somewhere in prime time, and we don't have them there. But we have 13 main slate games this week and a lot of high-priced, talented quarterbacks. So maybe we do see Rodgers at a bit of a suppressed roster rate than we thought, but I still think of those names like over 7K, he's probably going to be the highest rostered one.
See, I think Mahomes would be higher just because of the way he's been playing in the past. And the other thing I think too, and not to get bogged down, we're going to keep moving on from the game, but I do think maybe this is one of those weeks where at quarterback, you don't try and get cute. Like if you feel like Rodgers is the guy who's going to get you the $1 million or is going to win you a takedown a tournament or get you the most points, then play Rodgers. Because like, I just don't think we're going to have is he not going to get to 105 and you're like, oh my God, 20% Aaron Rodgers. I just don't think anybody's going to be over 15% with the options here. I mean, Tom Brady, 6,900, you know, Stafford, 5,700. We got Taysom Hill and Jalen Hurts who are going to be intriguing to people because of their running capabilities. Derek Carr just won $1 million for somebody. Kirk Cousins has a pretty good matchup against Tampa Bay and what projects to be a shootout. Mike Glennon has a decent matchup. I mean, we'll get to all these guys. We just saw Watson's on the slate, Kyler. There's just so many different options that I think it's one of those where the ownership might be kind of flat, even at the top for the quarterbacks.
No, yeah, and I think that's a good point that you bring up. And quarterback was a weird position last week, and I wound up with a lot of Aaron Rodgers and a few Deshaun Watson as well. But this one, I mean, there is no shortage of options. And you mentioned getting cute. Jalen Hurts is going to be an interesting name at 5,100.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Anybody else from Green Bay or Detroit that intrigues you?
I will just throw out, obviously, if Galladay is out, Marvin Jones at 5,800. I mean, he was just targeted a bunch last week and a lot of air yards and targeted downfield, so he would be in play. And if Kerryon Johnson is out and Swift is out, Adrian Peterson, it's gross. It is gross.
Mm-hmm.
$5,000, he's not really going to catch passes, but he's used in the red zone, he's used on the goal line, and the Packers are really bad against the run. So I'll just bring the name up, Adrian Peterson.
Okay. You're a sick, sick human. By the way, I just want to point out too, with Aaron Rodgers, not to belabor the point, but he did, you know, against the Lions earlier this season in a 42-21 game, 18 of 30 for two touchdowns and 240 yards. Wasn't even that great of a game. He typically has shredded the Lions. And if Daryl Bevel is willing to open it up and chunk the ball around, then we could see this game go way over. We could see Aaron Rodgers having to throw a bunch of passes. And maybe more importantly, Frank, and this is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of not really stat-based, obviously, but Aaron Rodgers, I would guess he wants to win the MVP. And Patrick Mahomes is currently leading. Aaron Rodgers is not going to win the MVP going 18 of 30 for 240 yards and two touchdowns the rest of the way down the stretch. He will get there if he throws for 300 yards and four touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. And that's within the range of outcomes for Rodgers, the way that we've seen him play and how aggressive they are throwing the ball in the red zone as well. I will just point out the game that you brought up was the game that Davante Adams left with injury. So that's why it was a bit of a pedestrian line for Rodgers.
Oh, that's true. Good call. I had to exit out of my thing. I was going to say, do you know what Alan Lazard is?
Alan Lazard is, I believe he's around 5K and he is, 5,000 exactly.
Okay. See, I would have a large amount of interest in stacking Rodgers with Adams and Lazard or Big Bob Tonyan if you wanted to, and then bring it back with a Hockenson.
Why is that a thing, by the way? Why are people calling him Big Bob Tonyan? It's a cool nickname, but I saw it all over Twitter on Sunday, and I'm just like, did I miss something somewhere?
No, I think I'm just kind of blindly going along with whatever the nickname is. I just see Big Bob Tonyan. He's a big, looks like a lumberjack, I guess.
I'm all for it. I just wondered if, like, he referred to himself as Big Bob or if someone else did. I don't know where it came from, so I was trying to find out.
I feel just tweeting it out, and everybody's kind of rolling along with it, like calling Derrick Henry the Big Dog. Speaking of the Big Dog, he is playing against the Jaguars, and the Titans are 7.5-point favorite on the road, over under 53 in this spot. I'm going to set over under, speaking of over unders, actually, you know what? I'm going to inverse the over under on the total here and ask you, over or under 35% owned Derrick Henry this week?
Under.
Ooh, really? He's $8,700, but this is an absolute smash spot.
So the Jaguars have actually been better against the run, and the first time that they faced off against each other, they held Derrick Henry under 90 rushing yards. Wow. So I don't know if that's just some kind of aberration, but they've actually played well against the run.
And 25 carries.
It's the same thing that we mentioned with quarterbacks, is that there's so many running backs this week. You could have Dalvin Cook in a tough matchup, but without Alexander Mattison. Christian McCaffrey is returning. Aaron Jones, you're getting for nearly over $1,000 cheaper than Derrick Henry, arguably in a better spot in terms of the matchup as well. So, yeah, I'm going to go under that 35% roster rate. And we know what his upside is. Him and A.J. Brown, we'll just kind of lump them in together. Like, they have slate-breaking potential, especially against this defense. And I think, like, if you're just mass multi-entering, like, you want a few lineups with these guys for sure. But I think that they're going to be less rostered than you think.
Okay. Interesting. I did not see that coming. 9 games against the Jacksonville Jaguars in his career, 158 carries for 798 yards. That is, quote unquote, only 5.1 yards per carry. 9 rushing touchdowns, though. That is the most against any team that Derrick Henry has. So if he's under owned, then I will dabble substantially. If you think he's closer to like 15 or 20%, then I will absolutely have some Henry this week. I'm sort of looking at it, Frank, and wondering, is Ryan Tannehill 6,700? Can you stack Ryan Tannehill at 6,700 with AJ Brown 7,300 and Corey Davis at 5,700 and just, like, I mean, not fade Derrick Henry, but you're hoping this is a shootout and, or even throw Derrick Henry in there. I don't know if you can quadruple stack the Titans. That's probably aggressive.
That is quite aggressive, and you're going to have a bunch of other cheap players if you wind up with something like that. And there's not really anybody you can bring it back with either, because last week I tried talking up Keelan Cole. DJ Chark returned to practice later on in the week, and they just kind of spread the ball around right now between Chark and Colin Johnson and Keelan Cole there as well. So you can't really bring it back with anybody, but this Jaguars defense is bad, specifically in the secondary. They're just getting shredded. I like Tannehill. I don't love him. Herbert is $100 more. And he's going up against the Falcons at home, and there's so much pass volume there. I can just see one of these games where, like, maybe Tannehill throws for 2 touchdowns early in the game, but it just gets out of hand, and they just have a huge lead in the second half, and he doesn't really have to.
I disagree.
You think so?
I don't think.
Their defense is bad, too, so.
Their defense is really bad.
Yep.
And the Jaguars have let Mike Glennon throw it 77 times in the last 2 weeks. Now, I'm not going to try and sit here and cape up for Glennon and act like he's been an MVP-caliber quarterback. But he slings the ball down the field. I don't think he has 2 picks in 2 games and 3 touchdowns. I mean, if they're going to let him throw, I mean, this is not Brandon Allen and this is not even Gardner Minshew. Like, you know, Glennon is going to challenge down the field a little bit, and if they're letting him throw 40 times, I think we see this game get into a shootout. The Jaguars have lost by 2 points and 3 points in their two games with Mike Glennon starting. I think the Jaguars are a live dog here. I think that they will cover. 7.5 is too much for me. I know Tennessee is good, and Tennessee can, you know, Derrick Henry can break one and cover it late, and that's fine because I'll have Derrick Henry. I just think you could see Glennon whipping the ball around. I agree though. I don't know who you go to. I do think that Tyler Eifert could be interesting at tight end.
I like Eifert, but the problem is he's super cheap, so it's fine. He's 3,100.
Once again, a stacked position. I mean, 3,100 for Tyler Eifert. That is absolutely dirt cheap. He had 6 catches, 45 yards last week, and then the week before that caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, so he is being targeted a decent bit by Mike Glennon. The problem is that he kind of splits routes with James O'Shaughnessy. So yeah. Eifert ran 35 and O'Shaughnessy ran 15. So, I mean, I don't hate it. I will, I'll also bring up the other tight end in this game, the Ferk Daddy, Anthony Ferkser.
No one's going to have him after last week.
He got all of his production, like the final drive. It was just like complete garbage time, but he wound up with, I think, 10 DK points at, I think he was like sub 3K. So, I had a lot of Ferkser. I went to him later on in the week.
Wait, did he end up with points?
Yeah, he wound up with 10 DK points.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was all on the final drive. Like, it was complete garbage time.
Oh, wow. I think I just, like, quit watching at that point. I don't know why. I just completely gave up on watching Ferkser.
Yeah, 10 DK points on 25.
Oh, I know, because that game was so crazy out of hand with the Browns going nuts. And it was like Michael Pruitt. like what we did. Like, he's just this feeding this guy with the instead of Ferkser, just brutal to see. I like the Eifert play, I think. And I was going to look and see who allows the most fantasy points to tight ends. Well, the Titans aren't top 7, and the Jaguars, by the way, 8th. So definitely in play. A lot of guys in play in this game. Vikings at the Buccaneers. Bucks minus 6.5. Over under 51.5. I bet this over on Sunday night, I think, at 52. Disappointing that it's come down a half point. I think it'll go up, assuming the weather is fine. This to me, I think, first of all, Dalvin Cook at 9,400 is untouchable.
Yeah, it is a tough salary, even without Alexander Mattison, who he had an appendectomy last week. I believe he has already been ruled out for this week and won't return until week 15. The problem is Dalvin Cook just had 38 touches, Will, and it's just like that is so, so valuable for a running back. It's hard to get away from, but this is just a terrible, terrible matchup. Like, this is as bad as it can get, and the Bucs have not allowed a running back over 59 rushing yards all season, Will. So, I mean, I'm with you. It's hard to really get behind him at that price. He will likely get 30-plus touches, but in a really tough matchup. Leverage play, sure, but, man, you got to pay up to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only argument, is like the Kamara thing the other week was nobody. Nobody's gonna be on him. Like, this is not donkey time in DFS anymore. Like, everyone is smart enough to know that you don't play running backs against the Buccaneers. Dalvin Cook is expensive. He won't be rostered at all. How highly rostered do you think Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen will be?
I don't think Kirk Cousins will be all that rostered because the price is getting up there at 6,200. I think people will still gravitate towards Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, just the way that those guys are playing and the fact that their targets are just condensed so much to just those two guys. Like, they really don't get the tight ends involved all that much. They throw it a little bit to Dalvin Cook. And recently, the Bucs defense has been susceptible to wide receivers. Over their last two games, they've given up 680 yards and 5 touchdowns.
But he's putting Carlton Davis in man coverage against stud wide receivers.
Yeah, don't put him on an island against Tyreek Hill. That's probably not smart, Todd Bowles.
Right. I actually think it's like Bruce Arians doing it because they're not calling like defensive game plans the way that maybe I'm wrong, but they're not calling Todd Bowles like defensive game plans the last month. It's weird.
Well, I remember, yeah, when Bowles was with the Jets, he didn't play as much man coverage. I think that was like,
he just blitzes the crap out of people.
Yeah, he just blitzes. All right. So, yeah, I think the wide receivers are in play. If you ask me, like, I'd rather take Thielen because he's $400 cheaper and they do use him in the red zone. Like, there's just so much.
There's also like Jefferson, again, was just in the Millie Maker. He's getting offensive rookie of the year. People are going to, it's only $400. I would expect that it's like almost a 2-to-1 roster rate on him.
Yeah. And Jefferson's awesome. Like, it's nothing against him. It's just like, we're playing a salary based game. And if you get someone for cheaper who you think has like a similar upside, then why wouldn't you go that route?
Yes. Then you, absolutely. I agree completely. Okay. What about Tampa Bay? I don't really have any interest in Leonard Fournette or Ronald Jones.
I don't really like
I'll say this, the Vikings leading their sack leader. Do you know who it is?
Sack leader for the Vikings. I don't know.
Yannick Ngakoue.
He's
not on the Vikings anymore.
I was about to say, he hasn't been on the team for like 7 weeks.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Let me double check. Somebody said that. I just blindly believed him. But yeah, I think this is a pretty good spot for Tom Brady.
I like Tom Brady. He's another one where 6,900, it's a good matchup. He's coming off the bye, so should be well rested. And I just really like Herbert, who's like 100 cheaper. I don't know if I'm just kind of like falling for the Falcons, although sure, their defense has been better.
Yannick Ngakoue, 5 sacks, their leader.
Yikes.
This team doesn't rush the passer at all. And Tom Brady, if you don't pressure him with your front four, is going to light you up.
I like Brady, but again, like, there's just so many quarterbacks this week. I almost want to make a lineup. Like, I want to make a bunch of different lineups just so every single one has a different quarterback. Like, I just don't want to like stack one quarterback because I can see a lot of different quarterbacks having great weeks. It's hard to really get behind any of the pass catchers because they just spread the ball out so much. Mike Evans is now up to 6,600 and rightfully so. Like, when they get in the red zone, they only look at Mike Evans. They don't look at anybody else.
That's the one thing I would worry about is Evans versus Godwin versus Antonio Brown. Because, I mean, friggin' Tom Brady is just not afraid to stuff the ball to Antonio Brown. And that's when the offense doesn't get going. And this is a prime spot for just Godwin carving up a bad secondary and Mike Evans getting vertical on young cornerbacks as the safeties try to, like, you know, maintain across the middle. I think Brady could go bananas.
Yeah, Godwin's my favorite play of the three. He's 6,300, so he's priced right in between them. Evans is at 66. Brown is at 55. I don't really know how much Antonio Brown has left, honestly.
Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I think if you went Brady, Godwin, and
brought it back with, like, Thielen.
Yeah, or even Thielen and Jefferson if you wanted to be, like, crazy.
It's not crazy.
I mean, I think this game, assuming the weather holds up, and honestly, I haven't looked at the weather, so I'm not sure, but assuming the weather holds up, I think this game is a shootout, personally. Because the Vikings can't run. And if they can't run and they're trailing because they can't stop the pass, they will pass. They just get into shootouts. They've only scored less than 21 points twice this season. I think there's points to be had.
Tampa Bay, as of now, 75, mostly cloudy, 5-mile-per-hour winds.
Okay, gorgeous Tampa Bay weather. All right, I'm in on this game because I don't think it's going to be that highly rostered. Okay, moving along to the Colts, -3 at the Raiders. I got to be honest, I have no interest in Derek Carr this week against a better defense. I don't think he can do anything with the Las Vegas running backs. But, man, I love me some Jonathan Taylor in this spot.
Yeah, and shout out to you, man. Like, you brought up Jonathan Taylor last week. I was a little bit more apprehensive. I wound up
3 weeks ago when he ran for 90 yards.
I wound up with him on I played a few early slate only games, and I had Jonathan Taylor on those teams, so he really, really carried me there. But it looks like the past two games that he has played that they're turning it over to him, and obviously they've been playing with leads in those games, but 16 touches this past week for Taylor. 91 rushing yards. He had the receiving touchdown. He was up over 130 total yards. And this Raiders defense just gave up 191 total yards to the Jets running backs. Ty Johnson and Josh Adams. Just think about that. So this Raiders defense is not
carved up by the Jets.
Yeah. And it could be another smash spot here for Jonathan Taylor. So,
well, Phillip Rivers is battling a massive, gnarly, I think is the phrase they use, a turf toe injury. Mm-hmm. But I think in Frank Reich's perfect dream scenario, it's feeding Jonathan Taylor and then maybe some Jordan Wilkins at the end and some short passes to Nyheim Hines. He doesn't want to be in a shootout. He wants his defense to snuff out Derek Carr. Darren Waller is definitely in play as a comeback if you want to correlate with Taylor, but I wouldn't go with Derek Carr in this spot. I just think the way that Indianapolis has shut down teams, especially in the second half, makes it a little concerning to me. Are you back on the Derek Carr bandwagon?
No. Not against this Colts defense. Not even as a contrarian play. I wouldn't get behind that. There's just so many quarterbacks.
There's too many other options. Yeah.
And with Waller, it's a big price tag and people are going to see that. I believe the Colts are number one against tight ends this year. So
when Darius Leonard plays tight ends, don't do anything against him.
Yeah, Darren Waller. So they might see that number one number right against, right next to Waller's name. And they say, all right, well, man, it's a tough matchup and it's a big price tag. You're going to get him at a lower roster rate, and you know what the upside is. He leads all tight ends, 28% target share, 20 red zone targets, is second in the NFL. So
behind Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Raiders will score some. I think they'll get to 14 points minimum, and one or two of those touchdowns might be Darren Waller. I think I'll be all over. Do you think Taylor will be chalky here?
I think not completely chalky. I think that you'll probably see him in like the 10 to 15% range. But he's one of three running backs in that 5 to 6K price point that I do like this week.
All right. Who are the rest of those running backs? We will tell you coming up after the break.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Chiefs at Dolphins. Patrick Mahomes, 8,100 is the top quarterback. Chiefs are -7 here. The over-under 49.5. That is such a surprisingly stout over-under to me.
I mean, that's just every Chiefs game. I feel like every Chiefs game is over 50, so I'm surprised that it's not. But, it's the Dolphins on the other side. With Tua as the quarterback, he's more of a game manager type. He's not going to take as many shots as Ryan Fitzpatrick. For the Chiefs, look, you have to have exposure. They just, like the Titans, like in a game where the Titans go off, everybody for the Titans goes off. It's the same thing with the Chiefs. In a game where they go off, Mahomes is going to go off, Tyreek Hill is going to go off, Travis Kelce. Now, it's really hard to get all three of those guys together because their salaries are so high. But I think maybe if you fade one of Kelce or Tyreek Hill, it's easier to make that happen. I was creating a lineup earlier with Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, and it worked out all right. It wasn't impossible. But, for Hill, he's averaging 12 targets per game since week 7.
Crazy.
12 targets from Patrick Mahomes is so
for the most vertically like for the best vertical receiver in football. Now, Xavier Howard will be back and he was kicked out. He's not being suspended or anything. Yeah, no, that was a dumb ejection.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything with that. That was weird.
I don't know that Xavier Howard is limiting. I almost tend to think if you've got a coach like Brian Flores who believes in his defensive backs, and you have a problem like Travis Kelce over the middle, that you might actually have him try to hold up Xavier Howard against Tyreek Hill one-on-one.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the Chiefs, right? Because if you try and double-team Tyreek Hill or even triple-team him, then Travis Kelce is just running wild over the middle of the field. So that they're just a nightmare to try and defend. And, like, we've heard this, Carlton Davis was a good corner heading into that game against the Chiefs. Like, it doesn't matter. Tyreek Hill's the fastest player in the NFL, and he can get behind anybody. So definitely we'll have some stacks there with Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. And I don't know that you have to bring it back with someone, but Gesicki looked awesome last week.
He has looked awesome.
Yeah, 4,500 for him. Legs, man. Yeah, he was making some sick plays. And Myles Gaskin is one of those other running backs in the 5 to 6K range. 5,600. I think he had 7 red zone opportunities last week in his first game back. On Wednesday, we're recording this. Savon Ahmed is not practicing. So I think we could see another close to 20 touches for Gaskin. And Melvin Gordon just ran all over this Chiefs defense. So
yeah, that's true. You can definitely run over the Chiefs. Falcons at the Chargers. We've been talking about Justin Herbert a lot. He is $6,800. It feels like a prime bounce back spot for him now that he has been priced back down after a total egg against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Falcons defense a little friendlier than the Pats when it comes to young quarterbacks. Although they've been fairly stingy the last couple of weeks. If you play Herbert, it sounds like you will. Who are you stacking with him? Austin Eckler, 7,000 or Keenan Allen at 7,700?
it's hard to get behind Keenan Allen right now. Like, this is not the Keenan Allen we saw earlier in the season, just because Eckler is eating so much into his target share. Since Eckler returned in week 12, he leads the team with 24% of the targets, Keenan Allen down to 20%. So, I do like Eckler again. He let people down last week. He still had 9 targets in a game where they lost 45-0. So, I do like him at 7K. And I think Mike Williams is sneaky at 4,700 as well.
10-9-9-3, and I think he was injured in that 3, maybe I'm wrong. 16, those are the receptions that Keenan Allen had before Austin Eckler's return in week 12, followed by 4 and 5.
Yeah. At his price, which is...
I mean, I would much rather go with... So you could go with Herbert and Eckler and then bring it back with Julio Jones or Calvin Ridley, both of which are... Ridley is 7,500. Like, I want Ridley over Allen at 7,500.
Yeah, and Julio's only 66.
I have written down here, Julio Jones, 6,600 is mispriced.
Yeah, he is. That is one that stood out to me early on here, and he made it through the game healthy, and that's really what I needed to see to get back on. So, I do like Julio as a bring back in the spot. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, we're talking now Keenan Allen. I wonder if other people are going to think this, and he's gonna be kind of a leverage play.
He might be. I don't think people will want to be on Keenan Allen.
And it's because of the price too. I mean, 77, he's not cheap.
I mean, if you go with Keenan Allen at 77, you are passing on DeAndre Hopkins at 7,600. Now, we'll get to that in a minute. I have no interest in Hopkins, but, Calvin Ridley, you're going to play Calvin Ridley or Justin, you're going to play Keenan Allen, who had 9 catches the last 2 weeks, over Ridley and Jefferson, who have just been monsters lately. I mean, I don't know.
Don't want to do it. He's the fourth highest priced wide receiver. I guess that's all matchup based.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll play Ridley, Jefferson, AJ Brown, Lockett, Mike Thomas, I guess. Thielen.
I like
Allen that. Robinson. I mean, Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans, Julio Jones. I mean, Amari Cooper. There's like 10 receivers. Nobody is going to be on Keenan Allen this week, which means Frank's going to play him with Justin Herbert this day.
You talked me into it, Will.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Anybody else in those games? No. You said mention Mike Williams. Sure, that works. Jets at Seahawks. Seahawks minus 13.5, over under 47. So here's the thing on this, Frank. Each week, it's like, well, they're playing the Jets, which is a great matchup, but I just don't know if they're going to be throwing late. They're going to have to sit. You know, these guys are going to be just running the ball late with a huge lead. And then each week, the Millie Maker is playing the Jets. At what point are we going to grow up and realize that just playing the Millie Maker against the Jets is the play?
Play everybody against the Jets is the play. And they just fired their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. And the Seahawks are coming off a tough loss against the Giants, so I wonder if they, like, just take it all out on the Jets, right? It's a bounce-back spot, good matchup. Russell Wilson has been throwing the ball less. Let Russ cook is not a thing anymore. Yeah. This is a way for them to get things back on track here. They've allowed 8 passing touchdowns the Jets have over their last 3 games. So
they just lost to the Giants. I mean, people are questioning... Like, I do Seattle radio every Wednesday morning, and they're like, so what's the national perspective? I'm like, well, you know, everybody's panicking because the Seahawks look like crap and they couldn't get anything going. Turns out the Giants might just have a good defense, and they're a bad matchup for DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson in particular, because Leonard Williams is rushing the passer really well, and James Bradbury's playing an elite level cornerback. So it's almost like I think people will not be on the Seahawks in this spot.
And if that's the case, I mean, like, you can just take over the field if you have, like, Russell Wilson to...
You get a Russ, DK, would you add Lockett too, or is it just two?
I mean, the optimizer's like all 3, so, that I've seen so far, and Lockett you're getting at 72, so We know what his upside is. He has not been consistent. Would I use him in cash games? No. Does he still have big upside? Yes, I do think he does. And Metcalf, it's a huge price tag, but this is another one where I brought up the Chiefs, same thing with the Seahawks. If I'm creating a bunch of different lineups, I do want a Seahawks lineup with Russ and Metcalf, and I'll bring it back with someone like Jamison Crowder, who's 5,400. You're getting him cheaper. I saw today that Denzel Mims did not practice because of a personal reason, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I would steer clear of that.
Yeah, but Crowder got back on track, and he was using the red zone. So I wouldn't mind doing something like that.
You're going to have to pay down. You have to get cheaper at other positions. Like, you're not going to have Davante Adams and, you know, Derrick Henry.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like, once you commit to stacking Russ with Metcalf or Mahomes with Tyreek Hill, like, you're not going to have Davante Adams. You're not going to have Derrick Henry. You're not going to have Dalvin Cook. You just need to accept that. And you're going to have to live in, like, the 5 to 6K range for your running backs. And you're going to have to pay down at tight end. You'll get, like, a Firkser or an Eifert or a Cole Kmet, who we'll talk about, but and then you just pay down a defense.
But like, there's nothing wrong with having an Eifert, you know, like it's not the end of the world. Looking at this, I just like ran one through there, but I don't know. This is kind of spicy. You can go Russ, Metcalf, Julio, Eckler, James Robinson. Those are pretty chalky running backs. Darnell Mooney, KJ Hamler. Then this has Hayden Hurst and Dallas defense in there. I mean, that's enough juice in your lineup where, like, I mean, in other words, you could, let's say we bail on James Robinson and
take Miles Gaskin. You get him at 5,600.
I would add Jonathan Taylor at 5,800 there. And actually, you know what? Who I'm going to toss in there, the guy I like, is David Montgomery and reoptimize. So I'm going to go Montgomery, Taylor, and those guys. Montgomery and Taylor are going to both be owned, but we're going to have Montgomery Taylor. This one's just jamming James Robinson in here. You got CeeDee Lamb, KJ Hamler, Hayden Hurst. I mean, you can get enough juice where you can do some damage with Russ and Metcalf.
For sure. Yeah. Yep.
And if it looks like they're not going to be rostered, I think that's a great spot to go to, because they're just, the Jets keep giving, we talked about last week, they just keep giving up tons of passing yards, and Russell has been eliminated from the MVP race by most people. I think they'll want to show something here, not just come out with a 17-9 win over the Jets. You need to get your confidence back. Texans at the Bears. Bears, it's Pick'em, over under 45. I have to imagine that David Montgomery at 6,500, who I absolutely love this week. I don't love the player, but I think he's like running 30% of the, it's like running routes on 30%. What is the stat? It's something insane. Like, he's just on the field all the time. His usage is out of control. The Texans are terrible against running backs. I don't see how you get away from him here.
Yeah, so David Montgomery's usage is like a running back in the close to 8K range or above that. Like, he is playing, like, in terms of how he's being used, 80% of the snaps since he's returned in week 12, and he's been getting a ton of targets as well with Mitchell Trubisky as the quarterback. And it's just, this is the best matchup for a running back. They are allowing the most yards per carry to running backs, 5.2, the Houston Texans are. And they've given up 70 total yards or a touchdown to a running back in every game this season. So the price is getting up there. We were all over Montgomery last week, but even at 6,500, I'm willing to go back.
And I would definitely encourage anybody that is diving in on this to, if you're also betting on props, bet on the over of David Montgomery rushing yards.
I like it. I think this is just a sneaky game in general. Like, I know it's in Chicago, and you might have some worry about the weather. What I'm looking at now is 30 degrees, overcast, 12-mile-per-hour winds. It's not terrible, but I think that this is a game where it can be sneaky.
Okay. Cardinals, Giants. Cardinals -2.5 at the Giants, over at 45. I have no interest in anyone on this entire game.
I agree with you. I like the Cardinals defense. If Colt McCoy is the quarterback at 2,700, I mean, even if Daniel Jones, he's very turnover prone as well. So
yeah,
looking for a sub-3K defense, I like the Cardinals.
Okay. Cardinals, fine. Yeah. With Colt McCoy or Daniel Jones with a bad hamstring. Sure. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, you got to be really into a contrarian style of decision-making to play them, because it's a bad cornerback matchup for DeAndre Hopkins with Bradbury. And it's a terrible spot for Kyler Murray. He hadn't played. They haven't moved DeAndre Hopkins off the left side in 3 weeks since Kyler Murray got hurt. Just don't play him. I mean, it's very simple. Don't play him. Too many other options. Saints and Eagles. Saints -7, over under 44. It's a Taysom Hill, Jalen Hurts Bowl. Have you any interest in either Taysom Hill or Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts at 5,100. Like, I will have at least one lineup with Jalen Hurts at 51 just because I think that he's just going to take off and run a lot. And even if he's not great, even if he only throws for one touchdown, if he like rushes for 50 and somehow scores a rushing touchdown as well, like he's easily going to pay off that price tag at 5,100. So I will have at least one lineup of him, and you don't need to stack him with anyone because I don't really know who he's going to target. He threw a touchdown to Greg Ward last week, so don't really want Greg Ward in my lineups. But Michael Thomas, man, like, Taysom Hill does not throw the ball all that much, but when he does, 39% target share in his three starts have gone to Michael Thomas. So I'm not really scared of the Eagles' defense. I think Darius Slay got banged up last week too, right?
Yes. Slay left injured, walked off the field.
So that would help Michael Thomas as well. So yeah. a lot of wide receivers in that range, like that mid-six to...
If you want to dabble with Hurts, just don't. You don't need to mess around with the wide receivers.
No.
Unless you want to go with like Ertz or somebody there at the tight end position, maybe, I guess. Okay. Move along. Let's move along. I just don't know. I think this game goes way under. The quarterbacks run a bunch. They feed. You know who is kind of interesting to me here? And the matchup's not good, but Latavius Murray again. Cause if the Saints get it, that we got our Kamara week last week, we were right on that. If the Saints get up in this game and they're going against a good run defense, I could see them just feeding Latavius Murray. And then you just hope he jailbreaks one or two.
Yeah. Nobody will have Latavius Murray on their rosters. It's hard to back Alvin Kamara. Yes, while he scored a touchdown last week, the targets are still not where you want them to be. And it's not a good matchup.
Yeah, it's a terrible matchup. This is a very good Eagles defense against the run. Cowboys at the Bengals. Woof. Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. The Cowboys -3.5. Over under 43.5. Cowboys defense has to be a thought here, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay. I think Cowboys defense and Cardinals definitely two that I'm looking at. And you can stack the Cowboys defense with Ezekiel Elliott, 6,600. I think we probably get close to 20 touches, and it's a good matchup against the Bengals. And I don't think Zeke is going to be rostered in many.
Probably not.
So.
And the Bengals are just friggin' terrible. I don't think you can do anything with Cincinnati.
Shout out to, I'll just do my Heath contrarian, Andy Dalton.
I don't hate it.
Revenge.
Actually, you know what? It's not even, I'll add the Brinson spin to it with Heath here as the contrarian play. It is a revenge game.
That's right. And he's 5,500 and Michael Gallup, who since Dalton has returned is tied for the team lead in target share is 3,800.
That's too cheap.
Solid. Look, they're better against the pass. They're better against wide receivers than they are against the run. But I still think like the Bengals are susceptible. I think a month ago, all the Steelers wide receivers went off against them.
I think Andy Dalton will. It's a 1 o'clock game, right? Yeah. So whatever. It's not in prime time. Andy Dalton wants to go back and drop some revenge on the Bengals.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock game.
I think this is this might be like an Andy Dalton four passing touchdown game. Seriously.
It's so gross, but it's so possible.
I mean, you will be above the field if Andy Dalton goes off. And what do the Cowboys have to hold back on?
And it's so easy to get Dalton, Zeke, and Michael Gallup in your lineup. And you don't have to bring it back with anybody. You just don't do
it. Don't bring it back with anybody. Go Dalton, Zeke, Gallup, and Cowboys defense. And then you just plug in Devontae Adams, Derrick Henry, like, I mean, whatever studs you want.
I like it. I like it.
Boy, I'm going to write Andy Dalton down. Andy Dalton? ? Unbelievable. Thanks, Ghost of Heath Past. Washington at the 49ers. 49ers -3, over under 43. I don't really see how you can do anything here, Frank, because the Washington football team, both these teams are 5-7. Both are competing for the playoffs, so it should be a competitive game. The last time I think these two teams played, it was last year when in a monsoon, and there were a total of 9 points scored, and Bill Callahan was trying to run the clock out on the season. This is in Arizona at the 49ers' fake home. The 49ers want to run the ball, and Nick Mullins isn't great under pressure. Washington is getting tons of pressure, and conversely, you know, the one guy I might, with Antonio Gibson likely out, the one guy I might like is Terry McLaurin, but he's could probably draw Richard Sherman a bunch of the time. And while he might get loose for one, you know, we saw Stephon Diggs, even, you know, I mean, it's just not a great, it's just not a great matchup for anybody here.
I do like J.D. McKissick just because he had 10 targets this past week. He's 4,900. So I think he probably sees somewhere in 6 to 8 targets. And, you know, if they do somehow wind up in a competitive back and forth game, he could get double digit targets. So at 4,900.
Look and see, where are the 49ers in terms of? They're middle of the pack in terms of receptions allowed to running backs. Yardage wise, a little bit higher. Yeah. I mean, I like that. They've given up 3 passing touchdowns to running backs. I don't hate that. And he's dirt cheap too. You got McKissick. You got McKissick, Andy Dalton. I mean, what are we doing here? McKissick, okay. Andy Dalton, Michael Gallup. You're cooking with some gas.
But you could seriously, like, you could go McKissick and Myles Gaskin and you have, you know, two pretty cheap running backs here.
Do whatever you want anywhere else. That's how you get the Russ, DK, Davante Adams action.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's something. When was the last game? It's off the board. Broncos and Panthers. Why is the game off the board? COVID concerns with the Panthers, surely.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So don't play anybody in that game. It's ugly. Everybody's missing, right? I mean, maybe Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. But like, it doesn't look like DJ Moore is going to play because he actually tested positive. And Curtis Samuel is like the contact tracing. He was close to DJ Moore, so he won't play. If this game somehow happens and those guys are both out, then I think Robbie Anderson at 6,200, AJ Boye just got suspended 6 games. I think he would be in play. And of course, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, last time we saw him, he had a massive game against the Chiefs in week 9, 37 fantasy points at 9,200. So okay. I don't know what his roster rate will look like, but considering all the other talent, I think you're probably going to get him suppressed, which is not normal for CMC.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Who's your chalk play of the week?
My chalk play of the week, I really like the Packers. I think you could go with either one of Adams or Aaron Jones, but I'm going to lean with the running back, and I like Aaron Jones in this spot, 7,600.
I will go with the same division, different team, and actually I could pick 2 guys here. I don't care how chalky they are. I will play them, David Montgomery and then Jonathan Taylor, who's not in the same division, but both of those guys for me are in absolute smash spots, and I want a lot of them. How about your super value play of the day, of the week?
Yeah, we just brought his name up. The revenge game for Andy Dalton, throwing to Michael Gallup, 3,800. I like the price.
Love it. I'm going to go with the guy that we talked about off the top, and I think I will take Tyler Eifert, who $3,100. There's a ton of options at tight end, but if you – and you're avoiding Travis Kelce, you're avoiding – Darren Waller. You are avoiding these big names that people gravitate towards, but you unlock a lot of other options at wide receiver. Like, I think you could get, you know, if you want to go, I mean, whatever combination of Andy Dalton, Michael Gallup, Tyler Eifert to start, like, you can put some meat around him. And if you hit one, if Andy Dalton has 2 or 3 passing touchdowns against his old team and Eifert catches one and has a couple of receptions, all of a sudden, I think you got a pretty nice base on cheap guys. It's not that hard to imagine. And you can really hammer home with some superstars elsewhere.
Yeah, you just choose whether you want to spend up at quarterback this week or you want to spend up at, you know, running back. And depending on that, like, you go cheap with Dalton and then spend up, you know, for guys like Metcalf or Davante Adams, whatever it might be, or vice versa. If you want Mahomes, then you're going to have to get some of those cheaper running backs that we mentioned, like McKissick and Myles Gaskin.
All right, we podcasted long, so we'll talk about beer next week. We'll get back to beer eventually. I haven't been drinking that much beer. Oh, you know what I had that was good that I hadn't had in a long time? It's very 2020 beer. I think they finally brought it back for the first time. Lagunitas sucks. Like, yeah, it's a beer for the times is what they called it. It's because it sucks. You know, I don't know if you know about Lagunitas. It's just an IPA, but they screwed up the formula, bottled it anyway, and they're like, try this. They're like, this is fantastic. And they're like, okay, like, we thought it sucks.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. I didn't hear that story.
Anything for you?
I tried from Evil Twin Sour Pepper Cherry Vanilla Float.
Woo!
Exactly like what you think it would. The only thing I will bring up with, like, the Evil Twin is their sour beers are not sour. It's just very sweet.
Hmm. That's a whole lot of flavor profiles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Evil Twin likes to mix some stuff together. All right. That's it. Frank Stanfill at @Roto_Frank on Twitter. Follow him. Listen to all the fantasy stuff. Read all his stuff on CBS Sports on the fantasy section of the site. Always a pleasure. Appreciate you coming in, buddy, and taking the time every single week. It's always a blast.
Thanks for having me, man.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.